Explaining health care reform is easy for Adam Searing.
It means three things. It means everyone covered, it means holding costs down so we can afford coverage, and it means quality coverage. And we don't have any one of those three things really for most people here in the United States.
Searing's a healthcare advocate for the North Carolina Justice Center. His tiny office is wallpapered top to bottom in photos, awards, and gag gifts, a roadmap of a decade of work in Raleigh. Perched in the middle of it all, Searing is still passionate about what he does, but he's the first to admit optimism doesn't come easy.
I find it's enormously frustrating because when I came 10 years ago, there were fewer uninsured people than there are now. And we've had big successes over the years, but the problem's gotten bigger, too.
A lot bigger, actually. As the state has grown, the number of uninsured residents has grown, too, by 171,000 over the past decade. Searing says the problem is too big to fix in one step, so he and other activists are pushing lawmakers to take small steps first, like starting a state-run insurance pool for high-risk people or making more kids eligible for state health coverage. They had some success this year, but he says there's tremendous resistance to even incremental changes.
I think the main roadblock is the insurance industry. You can't do a thing down at the General Assembly unless they basically give it their okay. It's extremely hard to get anything done.
Healthcare and insurance are two of the state's biggest and fastest-growing industries, and Searing says their political clout is growing along with their bottom line.
You know, people are getting very wealthy off of our current system. Just, you know, one example, I mean, the CEOs of insurance companies, Blue Cross Blue Shield, they're a nonprofit, yet four of their executives now make over $1 million a year. When you have that confluence of wealth, it's very hard to get change done in the General Assembly.
Bob Gretchen doesn't see it that way. He's the CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield North Carolina, and he's quick to point out that Blue Cross supported this year's high-risk insurance pool legislation. Gretchen also supports universal coverage, especially since the percentage of North Carolina workers who get insurance on the job fell by 9% from 2000 to 2005. He thinks all businesses, even small ones, should be required to offer insurance to employees with state subsidies to make it affordable.
There are still thousands and thousands and thousands of small businesses out there that are providing coverage for their employees. And the ones that aren't, I think have an unfair advantage.
Gretchen agrees that the problem of the uninsured is too big to tackle all at once. But he argues it isn't just one problem either. He says North Carolinians have to take more responsibility for their own health and their own health coverage. For example, he says, about a third of uninsured kids are already eligible for state insurance, but their families haven't applied. And he believes a large proportion of adults who don't have insurance can't afford it. They just don't want to pay the price.
Now, they may not be able to afford the Cadillac version of health insurance, but they can afford health insurance. And at some point, I think we're going to have to wrestle with the decision of whether to make health insurance mandatory or not.
That's what some other states are doing. In Massachusetts, all residents are now legally required to have health insurance. The state is helping many of them to pay for it. California lawmakers are working on a similar plan for their state. Is North Carolina next? Retired Dr. Bill Purcell leads the state Senate Health Care Committee. He's worked on a lot of reform proposals, but he's skeptical about this one.
I think we ought to take a close look at what Massachusetts has done and California, if they're going to do it, and see how it works. But I think there's a strong feeling among a lot of people in this state that the government's got no business telling people what they have to do. And that's the argument you get on about everything you try to do like this.
Professor John Oberlander has heard those arguments for years, but he says the case for a mandate actually cuts across political lines.
The great thing about an individual mandate politically is it turns what is usually a very liberal language of rights into a conservative language of responsibility. And it's about individuals not being free riders, but individuals having the responsibility to purchase health insurance.
But Oberlander, who teaches politics and healthcare at UNC Medical School, says an individual mandate won't work unless the state is willing to spend a lot of money on it.
Most of the uninsured are uninsured not because they don't want health insurance, but because they just can't afford it. So mandating that they buy it doesn't make it any more affordable. What they have done in Massachusetts is they've taken some steps to try and make that insurance more affordable. And more importantly, they've created very generous subsidies for low-income folks.
Here in North Carolina, a similar plan could cost more than $2 billion. That would almost certainly mean higher taxes. And Oberlander doesn't think lawmakers or voters have the political will to make that happen. The paradox, he says, is that while 16% of North Carolinians don't have insurance, 84% do. And even though the vast majority of Americans say they think the health care system is broken, most of them also say they like the medical care they have now. So there isn't much grassroots pressure for change.
The insured are all for health care reform as long as it doesn't disturb or unsettle their own arrangements. And if they think that a proposed reform is going to make things worse for them, they say, well, covering the uninsured, it's a good idea, but maybe not so good that we should pay for it.
The problem, he says, is that most people don't understand that they're already paying for the uninsured and doing it in the most inefficient way possible. Until that changes, Oberlander says, the healthcare system won't either. And he's not optimistic. After all, he says, the last time healthcare reform was on the agenda in the early 90s, it didn't go anywhere at all. Laura Leslie, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.